Hey, everybody, just a quick word before we get started with this week's episode. We wanted to remind you that it does take money to put this little free fake radio show out there each week. So now we've got this fancy new merch tab there at www.air-raid.net that you can buy our t-shirts and posters from. And also, we've got a new donate button on the homepage right at the top so you don't forget. And that money goes to a good spot. It goes to, it goes right into my hands. And I use that money to buy booze and cigarettes. It's a good place. Well, hello and welcome, everyone.
I'd like to have a little informal chat with you, okay?
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast.
I'm not joking around here.
This is episode 119.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
What is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series.
I like it!
I am your host, Aaron Roden.
The cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
And this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Once a week. Thank you so much for joining us in this episode. 119, man. This is great. This keeps on going, right? Kind of like a zombie. I'm watching The Walking Dead. Oh, The Walking Dead. Season premiere was 2 weeks ago. Second episode last night. So good. So I love that show. I don't know what it is about zombies. Especially around this time of year, you know, it is, Halloween is coming up. I just love horror movies and horror things. And, we're going to have a very special episode next week for, episode 120. We're going to be joined, by Derek Sheen once again, and we're going to be, taking a walk through Cube 93's haunted morgue that they're doing here in Seattle. It's this abandoned morgue. It's probably not abandoned. Who knows? Whatever. It's just not used as a morgue anymore. But it's down in Georgetown, South Seattle. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we're going to walk through that, and that's going to be next week. But this week, I just kind of glossed over what this week's episode is. We've got a very great show for you guys. The very, very lovely, very talented Sarah Cahoon is going to be joining us here in Dining Room Studios shortly. She is a fantastic artist and multi-talented lady. Sarah Cahoon started out, I believe she started playing drums for the band Carissa's Weird, which kind of branched off and created all these other really insanely popular bands here in Seattle. Band of Horses came out of that. Grand Archives came out of that. Sarah Cahoon came out of that. And then she went on. She played drums on, on Band of Horses' first album, which I believe we talked about in the Phil Eck episode, which you can find on our Archives page. By the way, Archives page, go and check that out. We've got great episodes featuring artists like Damian Jurado, John Roderick. I mean, come on. Bob Saget, Macklemore, all sorts of great Seattle artists and great comedians from around the United States. Dana Gould, Pete Holmes. We had a great episode with Jason Manzoukas, Paul Scheer, from the show The League, which you can watch now on FX. It's a great show. Great show. Anyway, go to the Archives page, and you can find all those past episodes there. However, you cannot download them. Where you can download us is on iTunes, but you can stream all the older episodes from our website at air-raid.net. A lot of things been going on, people. Of course, you know, if you've been listening to this show, if this is not your first time listening to this show, you probably know that I was on vacation. I was over in Hawaii with my family, my beautiful wife and daughter. We went over to Hawaii, took the kid on the plane, and wasn't that bad. I was really, really nervous about taking the kiddo on the plane, since she is only about 17 months old. But what we did is we just figured that it would be better if we bought her her own seat, because before the age of two, they can fly, I think, for free. They just have to sit on your lap. But we decided that why don't we just buy her a seat? Because, you know, spend the extra money, buy a seat for her, then we have all this room. We're not going to be pissing off anybody that's sitting next to us, anything like that. So that worked out perfectly. It worked out great. She did okay on the way to the island. Freaked out a little bit, but on the way back, man, she was awesome. We went to Oahu. Went to go visit our friends. You guys probably know him. Let's see. Kyle Stevens has been on this show a few times before. He is the lead singer and one of the songwriters of the nerd rock band Kirby Crackle. And so we went with him and his wife and went and visited or stayed with his parents, who had this awesome house. And they had a pool in their backyard and all sorts of awesome stuff. So we got to stay for free. It was free. And I'm not going to brag too much about this, but I am feeling pretty tan. I got some color finally this summer. And this is something that I'm going to have to focus on, for the rest of my life, because I don't like being pale, but man, it's been a long time since I've had like some color on my skin, and it feels good. It feels good. It hides, your ugly. I won't say yours, because I just know from my personal experience, it hides my ugly. I'll just say that hides my ugly. Yeah. Anyway, we had a successful trip. It was awesome. I wish we could have stayed a little bit longer. But you know, you got to come home at some point, I guess. Whatever. I'm still, it makes me want to, like, win the lottery. It really does, because I could totally see myself owning a house over on Kauai, you know? I've been to Kauai a couple times, Oahu just once now. But, we had a great time and a lot of fun. And thanks to our hosts, our most gracious hosts, Rick and Lori, over there in Oahu. Let's see. The other night, if you're just tuning into this show because you saw me do my guest monology. Is that how you say it? Monology? I don't know. Guest monologue spot for the improv group Human Propaganda with Rachel Bell from 97.3 Cairo FM here in Seattle. I did this little, this guest monologue thing for this improv group down there at People's Republic of Coffee Cafe on Capitol Hill. Did that on, I think it was Saturday night, and it was really great. So if you're just tuning into this show for the first time, thank you so much for checking it out. And I apologize for telling the story about how I crapped my pants in college. So that was so what happened is, like, somebody would yell out a word, and then I would have to tell a true life, hopefully funny story that related to that word. Somebody said the word dinner, and it sparked this memory that I had when I was in college. And I'm not going to get into the specifics. Maybe I'll share this this story sometime in the future, but we're getting a little long in the tooth. But on this episode, but yeah, so I did, you know, end result was I accidentally I sharted a little bit, and it's kind of an embarrassing story, especially when you're standing up in front of, you know, 30 people telling them all about it. So but it went well. I think I did all right. But I will say that after I was done telling that particular story, the crowd was silent, and I got a lot of blank stares, like, what in the fuck? What are you talking about, man? But it was fun. I had a great time, and I got to thank Rachel Bell, the wonderful Rachel Bell, for inviting me to do that monologue spot. It was very nice of her. All right, guys. Well, let's get to it, shall we? Let's get to this this chat we had with Sarah Cahoon a couple days ago. This was interesting because I got a call from her record label while I was in Hawaii. The wonderful Scott who set this whole thing up. Man, I'm having this thing today where I'm calling everybody wonderful before I say their name. Stupid. Maybe I'll just cut that out. I don't know. But he is a good guy. Anyway, Scott from Sub Pop called me a couple days before I was supposed to leave. He said, look, Sarah accidentally double booked herself. Can we do this on Thursday? I said, no, because I'm still in Hawaii. And he said, okay, well, she can do it earlier than 12 on Friday. And Friday was the day after I get back. I said, okay, well, we can do like 9 a.m., 10 a.m. Not thinking that I was going to be severely jet lagged. Because, you know, it's not that big of a time difference. But when you have a small kid and you're taking them to and from, you know, I mean, you're exhausted. It's exhausting. And so anyway, she agreed to come at 9 a.m. On Friday. And so we recorded this fairly early in the morning. And I will say that I accidentally slept in until 8:30. So I was scrambling to get all this stuff together. However, it turned out to be a great conversation. And we talk a lot about her past, how she got into music. And then, you know, some of the other stuff about, you know, when the Band of Horses started striking it big, everybody seemed to be really into their old band, Carissa's Weird. However, Carissa's Weird didn't do that great when they were a band. So I asked her about that a little bit and if that felt weird at all. She had some interesting answers. So I hope you guys enjoy this. We're going to be featuring music from Sarah's new album, Deer Creek Canyon. And this is the title track from said album, Deer Creek Canyon. So yeah, listen to it. And when we get back, we'll be talking with Sarah Cahoon about all that stuff. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. All right. Deer Creek Canyon, Sarah Cahoon. Be back in just a moment.
Get you in the summer by fall, I always want you back. Oh, mountains are red. Should just take a little time. Deer Creek Canyon's where I'm from, and it's where you are still.
Welcome back. That is Deer Creek Canyon the title track off of Sarah Cahoon's new record, which is out now, called Deer Creek Canyon on Sub Pop. And Sarah is here in Dining Room Studios joining me very early this morning, probably the earliest that we've ever done a show.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I like to get...
Gold star goes to you, my lady.
Sweet.
Well, welcome, Sarah. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on. I haven't heard much of this, the new album, but I've been a fan of yours in the past. And we were just talking before we recorded about some of the acquaintances that we share. The Lolarios. They're like a mob family here
they
in
are.
Seattle, aren't
yeah,
they?
I love it.
Yeah. So you got hooked up with Marcus a while ago, and he was your manager for a little bit.
Yep. Yeah. My last record. He was my manager for a while, and
yeah,
it was a good time.
I've always tried to talk to him about like what he does. But that's exactly why I say that, because he won't tell you straight up. Like he does the clubs, you know, and I don't know what he does for the clubs. I don't know if he owns them or if he's part owner or whatever. And then he's always kind of had his fingers in the music scene here in Seattle. And so it was you, Band of Horses, that he was managing for a little while, right?
Yep, and Grand Archives.
And Grand Archives. Okay, okay.
And yeah, maybe some other hip-hop bands, I'm not sure.
Right, right. There was the Subdwellers a long time ago.
Yeah.
You remember that band?
I don't, but...
It was bad. No, they were all right. They were all right. And you just got off tour, too, right?
Yeah, we just got back from Europe, actually, for the first time. We did about 10 days over there, and it was great. It was really fun and eye-opening to see how big the world is sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Was that your first tour over there or what?
Yeah, yeah. I'd been over there before, just like I've been to London and Ireland briefly, like a really long time ago.
Just to visit and travel around.
Shows. Yeah. And, it was really cool to play shows and see different people, like
That's
how they
awesome.
React and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I've always wanted to go to Europe. That's what my wife and I were just talking about. Because she'd been to Ireland. She went there by herself for like 3 months.
Oh, wow.
And just traveled around the country. And Ireland sounds like one of the most like safe places to go and just travel by yourself.
It's
for some reason.
Huh, yeah.
Everybody just seems so friendly. Mm-hmm. Did you meet anybody over there?
Yeah, I was like only there for like... 2 days or something.
Oh, okay. But you can't answer that question.
I know, I can't really, but everyone seemed really fun and drunk.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, yeah, that's part of it. Everybody's so happy.
Yeah, totally.
Because they're drinking tons of Jameson.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it was beautiful there.
Yeah, yeah. And so first tour in Europe then.
Mm-hmm.
And the shows went well then, huh?
Yeah, they went really well. Yeah. You know, some shows better than others, but, you know, mm-hmm. that's to be expected.
Yeah.
But it was overall, like, it was really great. So.
Do you get nervous about that kind of stuff? Like, going to a different country to play a show?
I do. I hate flying, really. So, like, that being in an airplane for that long was, I thought I was going to die.
How long's the flight?
It was about, like, 9 hours.
Oh, man.
So... But it's such a big plane that it's actually, okay.
So you can get up and walk around.
Like, it seems,
yeah.
you don't, you know, I try not to think about where I am right then. But other than that, like, once you get there, it's really cool, like, being in a different country every day. I mean, it's sometimes challenging because you can't, you know, some people don't speak English, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
And, so that can be, and sometimes reading a menu, I'm just like, oh God, I don't know what I'll have this thing.
Just point at something.
Yeah. Like, I feel like such a dumb American sometimes. It was great.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So do you guys just take like trains from country to country?
We actually had a driver that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That he's from Sweden and he drove us all around, which is
nice.
Really nice. Cause I can't even imagine like having to drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like to... all those places.
And you went full band.
No, actually, I just went with Jay Cardong, my pedal steel player.
Oh, okay. So okay.
Just the two of us.
Two of you. Mm-hmm. And were you headlining shows over there too? Or
we
was
had a
it
couple where we up? Headlined, but then a lot that we just opened up for people.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Excellent.
Yeah.
One of the questions I like to ask the artists that come on this show is like what the tour experience is like. Because it's something that I never did when I was playing in bands and playing music, and it was always something that I really wanted to do, and I find it fascinating to talk to people. Like we had Damian Girardo on the show a little while back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he hates it.
Yeah.
You talk to him and he's just like, I hate everything about touring, and he comes from a very opposite spectrum of where I think most people would fall on. So where do you fall on that spectrum? Do you like it?
I feel like I'm kind of in the middle, you know.
Oh, yeah?
It's like it's really exciting and like fun to be somewhere different every day, and uh-huh. like, you know, kind of just exciting to meet different people, and so I love that part of it. And I love like the hard part is just like, you know, lack of sleep. Like, I mean, like, especially like Europe, like that was really challenging because it was I was half asleep the whole time because
right.
It's like, you just don't really ever catch up. And it's the same in the US sometimes too, because it's like, you're just, sometimes you have a longer drive the next day and you're like, get in at like 3 or something. And then, you know, and sometimes if you don't have a lot of money, you have to like share rooms with like 4 people or something. And that sucks.
Right.
And so there's a lot of really crappy things about it that, you know, but then I also, you know, I also feel weird complaining about it in a way, because it's so, I mean, it is cool to be able to, to be somewhere different every day and play your music every day for different people. And, so I love that. Like, I guess I love it more than I hate it, but you know.
So that's what puts you squarely in the middle.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the biggest challenging thing is like, you know, your band sometimes can, the people you're with. I mean, I love you guys, but sometimes it's, you know, I mean, I know they feel the same way about me. It's just like, oh my God, I hate you, you know?
Right. Well, when you're spending that much time in a confined space with a bunch of
it's
people.
It's like the first
that, you know,
week, everyone's like, woo, it's kind of cool. And then it's like, you know?
Yeah. Do you guys get along for the most part?
Yeah, we do.
You and the full band?
Yeah. Most of the time.
Most of the time.
Yeah, we do. You know, it's like, they're great.
Can you tell, is there one story that stands out in your mind of like, this might be the end of the band right here?
Well, yeah, actually.
Can you tell it?
Yeah, I could tell it. It was, it was actually, we had a tour in, out in New York, and we met up with, Beachwood Sparks over there, and we just had like, I think the night before we played in New Jersey, and we were staying in, New Jersey City.
Oh, okay.
And it was just like a really dumb show that just sucked, you know. And we just went back to
how come just like lack of people in the audience?
Yeah, lack of people and just some weird vibes. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, we were all the way out there, and it was just kind of a bummer. And then, you know, so we played the show. And then we got back to the hotel, which was like, you know, we stayed in Jersey City because it's a lot cheaper to stay out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was like this crappy Super 8 or something where I think we all had to stay in one room because it was just still really expensive because it's right by New York City.
Uh-huh.
And those guys stayed up like all night, pretty much just like getting wasted and, you know, by the van and just partying. And, and you know, I went to sleep and I woke up in the morning. And I think they had finally gone to sleep. But when I went back out to the van, I noticed that like the back door was like kind of open.
Oh no.
So and it took me a second to realize that somebody had stolen my guitar and Jeff's banjo and dobro. So obviously somebody had been watching them, and then the minute that they like went back inside, they went and stole. I mean, they could have stole a lot more stuff, but
yeah.
It was like, we still had to go from there all the way back to Seattle. So we had like, still had a ton of shows to make it back.
Yeah.
And a lot of the, you know, we were just like, oh my God, what are we going to do? And thankfully Gibson flew out some stuff for us.
Oh really?
Yeah. Which was really nice. Otherwise I don't know what we would have done, but it was just like, after that, it was like all of us were just like,
Now, you know? Just and, everybody kind of pissed off at each other.
Oh, God. It was just...
And blaming one another for leaving the door open.
All the way back, it was just like...
Oh, man.
Just energy was just... And we had done a bunch of tours right before that, so it was like definitely like, you know, run down at that point. Uh-huh. And like by the time we got back, I was just like, all right, I think that might be the end, you know? I mean, just because it was so, like... I don't know. And a lot of the shows on the way back were not very cool either.
Right.
So it was just very challenging. And you know, I took a lot of time off after that. Basically, I don't think I toured much with the band after that. So
just to take a break from everybody?
Yeah,
or?
Pretty much. So.
Man, that's terrible. So had the guitar that got stolen from you,
mm-hmm.
was that like something that you had had for a long time too?
No, thankfully. But I did just get it from Gibson, like a, like a nice guitar that I had just bought from them.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, it was my fault. I left it in the van, which was stupid. But it is hard when you share a room with, like, you know.
Yeah, just to be bringing
to
your
instruments
in.
In.
Yeah,
I've definitely
totally.
Learned a lesson there. But it was just, you know, and I think Jeff had the hardest time because he had like a nice banjo and a nice dobro, and that all got stolen. And so it was kind of a bummer time by the time we got back. And you know, I think we all took some time off, and then, you know, and then, I mean, we all love each other a lot. So it was just kind of like needed to take a few moments to regroup, you know. So.
That would be my worst nightmare, because I always remember like the worst like band getting their stuff stolen story,
mm-hmm.
I think happened to Sonic Youth. Do you remember when that happened?
I don't.
They had their whole like... Because they had a whole busload of stuff that they would tour with, and they had been touring with for like 30 years.
Wow.
And they got this whole thing jacked.
Oh, that's awful.
And they lost everything, like all of their guitars, like guitars that these guys have been playing with for, you know, 30, 40 years almost.
Oh, my God.
Like old Jaguar, you know, vintage stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, about that, and I'm like, man... That would just drive me nuts, you know?
It's just so angering, you know? It's just like, are you... People are just, the worst sometimes.
But not only that, but like your instrument kind of, because, you know, I'm not in a band or anything like that anymore, but still, my instruments are my, you know,
totally.
Those are like... They've got some emotional attachment.
Oh, yeah. Especially when you've been playing them for so long. Like
yeah,
that.
Totally.
I mean... You know, thankfully I didn't have that happen, but
yeah.
You know,
well, do you bring, I mean, for that reason alone, do you not bring like your main guitar on tour with you?
Not really. I mean, I have a guitar at home that I really ride on, I feel like, so I don't play with that out really ever.
Yeah.
So I guess I do have one, that,
uh-huh.
but I don't, you know, I don't play live with it.
Any sentimental value attached to that, or
it's
just
like
your writing guitar?
Yeah, it's like my first awesome guitar that I got, that, and I started writing songs on it. So
That's it right there. The first one that you bought yourself, right? Or the first one that
first
you like
one that's like really
on.
Nice and like, you know, that I really started to write songs on that like I really liked.
Totally,
so,
totally.
Yeah.
I think everybody's got something like that.
Yeah,
right?
Totally, of course.
Yeah. Well, let's do this, Sarah. Let's go to our second musical break here. We're going to be featuring music off of her new album, Deer Creek Canyon. Actually, you know what? Let's do this. Let's play this song, Baker Lake. It's not off of Deer Creek Canyon, and it's a bit older, but it is one of my all-time faves of yours. So let's just play that. And then when we get back, we'll be talking more with Sarah about her life and her music. So this is Baker Lake by Sarah Cahoon. We'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Stay with us.
Your face, it's been that way for days, so I don't know why.
what's the best spot for an artist like yourself to actually like buy your wares?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know?
I mean, it's like, unless it's at a show, that's usually the best spot.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know, any of those places is fun.
And but, you've got a show coming up, right?
Yep.
Playing here in Seattle at the Neptune.
Yep, on October 26th.
October 26th.
With Grand Archives and
with Grand Archives.
River Giant.
Nice.
Yeah.
They're at River Giant. I've been seeing their name a lot.
Yeah, they're
recently.
Great.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. And we had Matt Brook on the show a long time ago. And we talked a little bit about the band that kind of started this, a bunch of these offshoots.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Archives, Band of Horses, Carissa's Weird.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were in that band as well. Right.
Yep.
And what year was that?
I think it was like 2001 or something like that. 2002.
Whenever I think of Carissa's Weird, I always think of like, oh, that was like 95.
Yeah.
I don't know.
well, I mean, I came in at the end, you know.
Oh, okay.
So yeah,
okay.
It was. You know,
had it been going on?
Yeah,
like back
they've been
then?
A band for quite a while, and you know, I was like the last year and a half or so of their existence.
Yeah.
So.
And how did you get hooked up with that? Because you were a drummer originally, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been drumming since I was like 12, so that's like
so...
kind of my real instrument, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, a friend of mine, I was a huge fan of them, and like a friend of mine named Jeff McIsaac, he was the drummer right before me, and he called me and he was like, I can't do it anymore. And you know, can you drum for them? So I was like, hell yes. So
yeah,
that's how it began.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then what happened at the tail end of that band?
I think everyone was just wanting to kind of go their separate ways. And,
right.
You know, Jen was doing her S stuff and like, you know, Ben was starting to write songs and Matt. And so I think everyone just kind of wanted to take a break. From,
yeah.
For
yeah.
A while.
Yeah. Now I think it was with Jen Ghetto. An interview with her about, I think it had, there was a question about Band of Horses, because when Band of Horses kind of like started to get bigger, you heard a lot more about Carissa's Weird. Like, and I remember, you know, being younger and living around this area, hearing about Carissa's Weird, but never actually hearing them. Like, I don't think I ever actually heard your band when it was a band.
Yeah.
You know?
That,
and, like,
yeah.
And so I thought it was really interesting because, like, everybody was like, oh, yeah, I was a big fan of Carissa's Weird. Do you feel like that was, like, the case? Like, once like, Grand Archives and Band of Horses started coming up and you started coming up, like people were like, oh, yeah, I was such a big fan of your of your old band.
I guess it's hard to say because I know there are some pretty hardcore fans.
There
like,
were, yeah, yeah.
Like, but I know that there's also people that didn't know of them really until until people started talking about them more. And
yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
I guess it's, yeah.
Does that bug you at all? Like to hear that kind of stuff?
It doesn't. I mean, I feel like I was such a late person in the band.
Uh-huh.
Like, I could see how it could feel weirder to Jen or Matt or,
right,
you know,
right.
Something like that. But I always came into that band being, like, a fan. So it's kind of funny. Like,
oh,
I feel
okay.
Like I am one of those weird fans that's like, you know, I was such a huge fan.
Yeah.
Of you.
I saw your first show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, yeah. I mean, I could see it is weird because... Like they're saying, like it's like they have this really weird underground like following that that a lot of people didn't know who they were.
Right, right. Yeah.
Now they do. So it's
yeah, I mean, and it just seemed like when I saw that interview, I think it was in The Stranger or something like that, and I was just like, that makes total sense because if Carissa's Weird had that many fans that you hear of now, back then they would have been like the biggest band in Seattle.
Yeah.
You know,
totally. Totally.
So how did you get started playing music? Were your parents really into music growing up or?
No, I mean, like, my mom would play music all the time. Mm-hmm. And my...
Like, just records?
Or... Yeah. And, you know, she had a guitar laying around, and, like, she didn't really play it much, but, like, my brother would play it sometimes. And, you know, I was, like, my very first instrument was saxophone that I learned, like, in, you know, elementary school.
Was that, like,
and
a...
that was, like, the worst.
Like, you had to learn something?
Yeah, it was just, like, yeah. awful. I hated it. Mm-hmm. And I would, I was always obsessed with drums. Like, I just, it's the first thing I always hear. And, like, I don't know, they've just always, I've gravitated to them.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I had, like, this weird experience in, like, junior high where it was, like, I was in, like, you know, music class or whatever, ensemble class, and playing the saxophone. And like, the drummer was trying to do this thing, and the teacher, like, none of them can do it. So I raised my hand and I was like, can I go do that? And I had never played before. And I went up there and, like, did it. So it was kind of like right after that I was like, okay,
we're switching it.
I'm going to play the drums now. And I convinced my mom to get me a drum set. And, I just was fascinated with drums. And, and I feel like it's like my instrument. That's so, like, it was just a really natural experience for me, and kind of just, you know, I learned it right away. Like,
yeah.
Everything.
Did you take lessons after that too?
I did, like, take some lessons. Yeah. Uh-huh. And, but I would constantly be playing to music, you know, like, Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction was a big one. I would just pretty much play that all the time and annoy everyone. So anyways, that was my, you know, drums was my first start. Like,
right.
And
right.
All it was kind of all over since then,
man. So, you're pretty multi-talented then.
At certain things.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, how did you first pick up a guitar and realize you could play guitar too?
It was kind of like in high school. I would pick up my brother's guitar every once in a while. Uh-huh. And I didn't really take lessons. So I would just kind of learn these chords and probably learned them the wrong way. You know, like I taught myself, like, I guess I have a drummer's D, as they say. I don't know. People that know,
you
about
put your
that.
Thumb
like, I
over
just
the...
do things weird. But so I basically just started doing that. And then I don't know. I mean, I never considered myself, I was going to be a singer, because I was like the shyest person in the world. And like, I would never imagine anyone hearing me sing, you know? And so that, you know, I would just kind of hum sometimes in my room with music and, or playing the guitar, like a chord. And it is like, I was having a party in high school and, like, kind of drunk, and my best friend was drunk. She was like, come on, just play me a song. So I went and, like, played her a song, and it was, like, really scary because no one had heard me sing. And she just, like, was like, so, like, she just, like, you have to do this again. And like, her mom had a coffee shop, so she convinced me to go play at the coffee shop,
do an open mic.
So it was like kind of like this really slow thing that
oh wow
happened.
Where did you grow up?
In Littleton, Colorado.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Like, so it's kind of a small town.
It's actually kind of a,
is it?
It's kind of bigger. It's growing, like, you know, like Deer Creek Canyon is in Littleton as
well. Oh, okay.
Well. So,
okay.
It's kind of like there's suburbs and then there's like a canyon. And so it's actually kind of a bigger suburb.
Even when you were growing up there, was it like a bigger place?
It's grown. I mean, it's definitely grown a lot, but it wasn't that big. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but it's pretty. It's like right by the foothills and
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. What, so when you're, how long did it take you to kind of get over your stage fright? Cause you were saying that you were, you know, a pretty shy young lady.
Yeah. That,
I mean, that's
a
hard
time.
Thing to get over.
I mean, it was like, I would force myself to go do a few open mics in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved out here, I, came to, moved here in 98 and to open like the snowboard skateboard shop I was working at. We opened one out here. So I was like, basically just, I was like, I'm just going to bring my guitar. I'm not even going to bring my drums. And I kind of forced myself. I didn't know anyone. So I forced myself to go to open mics and just play. And that really helped me it helped not knowing anyone.
Right.
Cause
right.
It's like, I always had like my family in the audience and it was so horrifying.
Oh man,
you know?
That's the worst.
I know.
Right?
Cause my lyric, you know, it's like my lyrics are pretty like intense in a way.
Yeah.
So it's like, I just forced myself to try and get over those things and try and open my eyes, or, you know, when I'm singing, or just
right.
So it's definitely been like a long, like, process.
So it's little things that you would make yourself do, like, okay, you're gonna make eye contact with like three people in the audience tonight, or something like that.
Yeah, just like things like, just try and get better at that. Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. Oh, like, thanks. I mean, you know, there is an art to getting up on stage and actually being in front of people.
Yeah, it's hard, especially, I don't know, for a shyer person coming from the drums, you know, where it's like you're behind
and
you
everybody
don't
and,
have to.
Yeah.
And now all these people are hearing everything you have to say, which is, you know, was really weird for me to have.
Yeah, yeah. But you still kept up playing the drums from there.
Yeah, definitely.
You went into Carissa's Weird a little bit later. And then also you recorded the first Band of Horses album.
Yeah, I played some drums on there.
In studio.
Yep, in studio.
Yeah. So how was that experience?
It was great. I mean, I don't know. It was fun. And it was very natural for me to just come in and play some of the songs, just playing with Matt and Ben for so long. I think it just was, and the songs are so good. So it was really easy.
Yeah, yeah. And that was with, was that with Phil Eck in there?
Yeah, that was a little like scary.
But, yeah, well, that's what I wanted to ask you about, because we had him on the show a long time ago. And I was so nervous to meet him.
Yeah.
Like, I was just, and I ended up having like a lot of my facts wrong about his work.
Sweet.
Sarah, it was so bad. It was so bad. You can go into our archives and actually listen to that episode. But yeah, so were you pretty nervous, like, playing for him?
I was really nervous. I think I was pretty rushed into it in a way too. Uh-huh. So I feel like it was just like, I think having Matt and Ben there was like made things easier or something. I don't know. I was nervous because it was Phil Eck and he's so tall.
Yeah,
and,
he is. He's huge. Yeah.
But it ended up being a great time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, he's a very nice guy, and he seems like
very nice.
He seems so. When you go into studio, and you're working with a producer that you respect, and they're giving you direction, I mean, how does that relationship work?
It was pretty.
Is it a push and pull, or is it like?
It depends. I mean, with him, it was actually pretty fun because I had to kind of just watch him. Both him and Ben, like, I would watch him in the Phil Eck in the studio, like, kind of see him while I'm playing, and he would be kind of like air drumming and be like, right here, do this thing, you know.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, I'd just kind of like, while I was playing, I would just kind of watch him and then be like, okay. So he was actually kind of fun. And then, like, you know, Ben was the same way. Ben would just, you know, while he's playing, he's just like really good at like
taking direction and
yeah. So it depends on, you know, I've never really been in with like a really huge producer or anything, so that can thankfully I haven't had any awful experiences
right yet. Where somebody's like yelling at you,
you're
doing it wrong.
That wouldn't be good,
so. No, I don't think that would make for much of a working relationship.
No thanks.
So is that like a nerve-wracking thing for you going into studio?
It can be. I mean, this last record that I did, it was with Tom Monahan, who's done like Vetiver and Fruit Bats. We just hit it off right away. I was kind of nervous because I didn't really know him very well, but we just like, we talked on the phone forever, and like, we just had a really strong idea of what we wanted to get done. And I don't know, for some reason, everything just gelled and was very easy.
Yeah.
And it is stressful, though, just, you know, making sure you have everything together, because you only have so much time in the studio that you're paying for.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, so that part can be kind of stressful, making sure that you are ready. But he was just so smooth at, like, you know, making things easy.
Yeah.
And fun, you know. And so, thankfully, it was a great experience.
Yeah, yeah. And where did you record this one?
Bear Creek, actually, in Woodinville.
Right, right. And that's like this huge, like, log cabin almost, like, scene up there, right?
It's like a barn, old barn.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Feels like you're, you know, in the middle of the mountain somewhere.
Yeah,
kind
yeah.
of. So that's kind of what I was actually wanting, and so uh-huh. that was the closest that I could get. So.
Yeah. And did you stay out there too? Because don't they have like accommodations for people?
Yeah,
to actually
Tom
stay there.
Did. I didn't. Oh, okay. I just ended up going home. So
yeah,
it's
yeah.
not that far.
Right.
So
yeah.
And I like my bed. So
yeah. You must have a sleep comfort.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So how important is that, like the actual, like the scene that you're recording in?
I mean, it's not the most important thing. I mean, uh-huh. the most important thing is, you know, making sure that everything you have is comfortable and the people you're working with is good. And I mean, you want to make I mean, it does make a big difference, you know. I guess I'll take that back in a way. I mean, because yeah. going into that place, it's like I was kind of immediately calm, and the room is just so beautiful that it just really makes you kind of feel like this isn't a really exciting thing, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Compared to some studios where it's like kind of more flat and, you know, not as like beautiful.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I guess it does. It does make a difference. I mean, like.
Well, it makes you feel comfortable too, right? Like.
Yeah.
Like
totally.
You're,
totally.
You know.
Uh huh.
You're trying to have this kind of organic experience, right? With
right.
the producer there, mm-hmm. and maybe some people from the label are there mm-hmm. listening or something like that. You know.
No.
That's,
but yeah.
No. No. Never.
No. Not. No. It actually hasn't happened. So,
really?
Yeah.
So they good. Just know you too well.
I guess so.
I was like, yeah. we'll just let her do her thing.
She's such a stress yeah. bomb. No.
So when you started like getting a little bit more notoriety, you know, you're working with Marcus. Marcus has a lot of connections in mm-hmm. the city of Seattle. Was that a pretty exciting time for you? Like, when did that all start to gel and happen for you?
Well, I had a record before that mm-hmm. I self-released and, you know, slowly started to build something here.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Sub Pop picked it up for distribution.
Oh, they picked up that first one?
Yeah, just as distribution.
Okay.
Releasing.
That's still got to be kind of exciting, though,
it was
right?
super exciting because they would buy like 100 at a time. And, yeah. and like, so it was just like, and it was just cool to be able to, like, I was so nervous when I have to go deliver them like CDs, like I would just be like, oh god. So it was kind of just like this I know I keep saying slow build, but it really is true that it was just this one step at a time, you know.
Right,
and then
right.
like, you know, they picked me up to do a couple CDs on Sub Pop, and so I recorded that Only as a Day is Long, and that was like, I feel like it was a stressful time in a way. It was very exciting, but it was also like,
right.
it's like sometimes I would try and psych myself out, you know, and be like, oh God, you know, this is like on Sub Pop. And like, so I think like I kind of rushed it and like was kind of just messing with my brain a little bit, you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
so meeting yeah. Marcus was great. Like it was, I met him through Band of Horses cause he managed mm-hmm. them. And, he was hilarious and would always make me laugh and like kind of, you know, be like, just chill out. You know?
Yeah.
So it was all just a pretty bizarre thing. Like to
right,
be like,
right.
oh,
well, was it like, I mean, it had to have been exciting too. It's like,
very exciting.
Cause it makes it a real thing. Right.
Right. And I mean, it was super exciting. And I think like, that
totally validates everything that
yeah,
you've been working towards.
It really, yeah. I mean, it was really, really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And also really like, sometimes I would just be like psyching myself out. Like, what am I doing here? Like, this is so weird. You
yeah.
know?
Did you ever like, give yourself kind of like a panic attack almost?
Oh yeah.
Cause now you're doing it for like somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, yeah. I mean, it was stressful.
See, that would freak me out.
Yeah, and I think like that, you know, that whole thing, it was just so very exciting. But I feel like I was also like didn't know what the hell I was doing either. So it was
yeah.
like this, like, you know, whereas like this record, I feel like I've calmed down a lot and just kind of like, all right, you know, this is it, and you know, Uh-huh. Like whatever happens, happens.
And yeah, yeah.
Just chill out. Jesus.
Well, I think you can hear that too in the couple songs that I've heard on this record too. They're, you know, yeah, you can hear it in the songs.
Yeah.
Like it's a very mature album.
That's how, I mean, like. I feel like that too. I mean, I just, mm-hmm. I think like I matured a lot and like really wanted to take time with this one and just, you know, not pressure myself too
right,
much.
Right. How long did you take on this?
I think it was only like 2.5 weeks or something like that.
Oh, right.
But it was, you know, I mean, it was what, 4 years from my last record. So it took a lot of time to get it to just be the way I wanted and not freak out about it.
Yeah. Well, it's awesome that you can do that now too.
Yeah, I still have my freakouts, but yeah.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been a real treat having you here.
Thank you.
And you've got the CD release show coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot of listeners elsewhere in the country, so let's talk about like the tour. Where are you guys going?
We're going like starting November 1st in Portland, and then heading like to Colorado, and then down south, and back up like California. So it's more of just a West Coast kind of a thing, and I think we're going to be out in New York as like a 3-piece kind of East Coast week, probably for about a week.
Cool.
December. So,
excellent.
Yeah,
excellent. And we can find all those dates and stuff on your website.
Yep.
At sarahcahoon.com, and that's sarahcahoone.com. So go and check that out. And also buy the CD. You can find all the music on there, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
do it. Just do it. All right. Well, we're gonna go out today with let's see, the song "Nervous Wreck" off of Deer Creek Canyon by Sarah Cahoon. So once again, thank you very much. Is there anything else you need to plug?
I don't think
while
so.
While you're here.
I'm sure I'm forgetting something, but thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. This is Nervous Wreck, and we'll be back next week with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Remember, everybody, go to iTunes, rate, and review the show. It really does help in the long run and helps us continue to get great guests like Sarah on the show. So go and do that for us, will you? Do that as well. All right. This is Nervous Wreck by Sarah Cahoon, and have a great week.